Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Hey kids, you hate ginger?
Yeah!
Then get the brand new androgynous action person, G.I. Pack!
Cool!
G.I. Pack gets rid of all the fun and excitement of G.I. Joe's and replaces it with self-righteousness and anger.
This dino won't tell me its pronouns. Take this, Nazi!
G.I. Pack comes with awesome accessories, like a commuter bike, a sword latte, and a cell phone with instant outrage self-reaction!
Pro-life people should die!
But look out! Here comes G.I. Pack's greatest foe!
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
Mike Pence!
Mike Pence and the evil right-wingers will stop at nothing to destroy G.I. Pack and except for you to fight back!
I won't share a meal with another woman unless someone else is present.
Right side of history! I'm dead!
Now you know your gender identity! And knowing is half the battle!
This is real, y'all. This is real. This is...
Hello to all you something duckers out there. The CEO.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So he wants to work for the IRS. Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts in something that cares who will let us get away with it.
Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire River. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today happens to be Monday, so another broadcasting week starting for us. My co-host is on vacation, so it's me and a bunch of clips today, and if you want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone. I will make it a point to go to you. So in order to save my voice, since there's no co-host, I am going to be very clip-heavy today. I did want to share a few things, and I'll probably share them throughout the week as well. One note that I did want to share was back in February when I was in the hospital twice, the second time being for 8 days. My blood sugar was at 13.8. And I was told there's no coming back from that, especially if I'm not willing to take metformin. Everybody told me I was crazy. Nobody except me thought I was going to get this done. Checked my A1C since we last talked, and I am at 6.1. So, squarely in the middle of pre-diabetic. So, I believe the, was it 5.9, or I believe it might be 5.7 for normal. And I'm just a few percentage points, not percentage point, but decimal points away from that. So the goal in when I check again in October, I expect heavily to be under that threshold. I think that's, I'm not going to say it's easy because it's not, but I feel confident I can make up that 0.5 to get under that amount there. And people have asked me what I did. And I don't mind sharing. One, I will never take metformin or any of those type of products ever in my life. Just letting everybody know that. But what I did do was I take berberin at least once a day. And a second time if I eat something that I feel might be questionable. In the morning, I have a drink with about 20 ounces of water mixed with nitric oxide powder that I – there's been a few different flavors and brands that I've used. I don't have a particular favorite. I just know that I don't use Splenda, so I've let a few of those brands stay on the shelf because I don't use Splenda. I don't use sucralose. If it's not stevia, I ain't interested. So, and that's one thing, too. I do drink tea on a regular basis, and I will add turmeric with black pepper to get the curcumin effect. I'll throw in a splash of cinnamon, and I will sweeten with stevia. And then I upped my vitamin D level. My B50 level is on point. My magnesium, my iodine, zinc. If I feel like I'm having issues, then I'll throw an L-lysine in there, but not every day. I could also use some maca powder if I'm feeling tired, just for some energy. But that is what I've been doing, and I have not really eaten bread. Now, if somebody brings home a good pumpernickel bread, I might have some, maybe some sourdough. I haven't really tested my blood sugar after eating sourdough or pumpernickel, but I'm willing to eat them. I like the taste of bread. I just know how my body was destroyed, so I have not been partaking. So there is something else, and I don't really want to do the bleached flour. But for certain carbs, I tried this with cake, actually, of all things. I'm just one of those people that grew up in a family of seven, and we did not waste food. So if my wife spends $9 on a piece of cake and takes one bite, doesn't like it, instead of throwing it out, we'll put it in the freezer, and then I'll eat it in 3 or 4 days. Because I've shared this video before where if you several doctors have talked about this recently, where if you freeze your carbs and then reheat them in a few days, the glycemic level remains low. So it's not going to be like you didn't eat any carbs, but it's not going to hugely spike you up. And so I've tried it. It worked. So I'm not going to say that it was perfect, but instead of my blood sugar spiking 85, 90 points, it might spike 15 to 20. If that. So sometimes if you eat it, if I'm going to eat a carb like that, I'm going to eat it during the day and not at night, because you want that opportunity to have a chance to burn off the carb. Because if I'm eating a carb at 5:55 and I go on air at 6, I'm here till 9. Where am I going to go walking and exercise at? And then after 9 o'clock, I'm in get ready for bed mode, because the goal is to be in bed before 10 o'clock. So the food factory gets cut off before the show. So I'm not really a soda person. I do like an occasional Zevia, because if I'm going to have carbs, I want to eat it as opposed to drink it. But anyway, going from 13.8 down to 6.1 in one A1C cycle, that's a good deal. So I honestly didn't think I would get that low. I predicted somewhere in the low sevens. But it got done. So I can officially say I'm not diabetic. I could say I'm pre-diabetic, but I'm not diabetic. So, Vito, I know you're out there. If you want to talk at some point, just let me know, because I don't have a co-host tonight. So we talked about the carb freezing. So I found a few things to, as far as cheat codes. And I can't say that I've missed all that much. All right, so let me see if Vito wants in here, because he did press lucky number one.
Proof, how are you? Listen, hey Proof, how are you? Just give me a few minutes and I will call right back. I just didn't want to just hang up without letting you know
that's
that I'll
fine.
Be back. I'm driving right now.
Okay. I'll just put you on hold and then. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, Proof. I'll call you back. Bye-bye.
All right. I like that. People getting ready to call in. So that's cool. All right. So anyway, I figured that was some really good news. I've been looking forward to sharing that for a long time, actually. And I knew that I would be able to get this accomplished. I just didn't. Even I didn't think it'd be this fast, though. All right, so what's next here? So we have, I do have a bunch of clips I want to play. And a lot of it is going to focus today on Tucker Carlson, because what went on over the weekend at that Turning Point USA, that forum, and all those candidates just went up there. Mike Pence acted like he really didn't want to be there, and he felt like it looked like he lost a bet, and he really did not want to talk to Tucker Carlson, but his press secretary must have told him, you get your ass out there because you're not even polling at 1%. As a matter of fact, it looks right now that Asa Hutchinson, who are the other ones, Pence, Chris Christie, a bunch of them are going to be missing the first debate because you need at least 2% in order to make the debate stage, and they are not close to 2%. Pence is closer than Asa Hutchinson and Chris Christie, but that's not much. I think that's hilarious, because if you can't get to 2%, you're not going from 0.8% where you're not even polling at 1 to winning the presidency. You're not going to have that aha moment where every voter out there is going to say, wow, I was really wrong. If you don't know who Mike Pence is by now, then no. I can understand about that Miami mayor or the governor of North Dakota, Burgum, or Will Hurd, because they were never on the main stage. But Pence, Chris Christie, if you never heard of those fools, then you're never going to learn about them, because they're not there. We'll just put it that way. They're not getting there. They are flaming out their political careers, and when they get questioned, especially Mike Pence, when
Mike Pence tries to answer a question, and he's just blowing off Tucker Carlson, especially when he answered, and this was dumb on Pence's part, even if he says he didn't mean it like that. You answered the question. And I think he was just trying to get, he was trying to get Tucker Carlson to ask him softball questions. I think that was pretty much it. And these people are not used to people asking them normal questions. They just want the Sean Hannitys of the world that will treat them like they're royalty. Just because they have an R behind their name doesn't mean they're anything special. And so with Pence out there, I know your routine. And when Tucker asks him that, why are you more interested in Ukraine and not about the decaying cities, and he says that's not my concern, and I've heard your story before, there is no way to spin that to make Mike Pence look like the good guy here. So, it's just sad that out of those, and I don't know how many, was there 7, 8 people that went there to speak as presidential candidates, and only 2 actually did decent. I was told that, and I don't know, I guess maybe they're right, but a lot of the pundits out there said that Nikki Haley failed, Pence and Asa Hutchinson failed, Tim Scott underwhelmed, DeSantis did okay, and Vivek Ramaswamy hit it out of the park. And I guess that's a fair assessment. Nobody else showed up. There's really no reason for Trump to show up, although it would have been nice. But you could tell who the players are. And anyone, and by the way, Vivek, depending on the poll, is now second, overtaking DeSantis, as DeSantis starts laying off some staff, which is never a good sign. But if you're not beating DeSantis, you don't have a chance right now, because the straw poll had, I want to say it was either 74 or 78% Trump, with Ramaswamy second with like 12 or something. And then DeSantis is like 10. So what's that? 78, 84, 94 with 3 candidates. And then you got the rest of them. And that's everybody that's not even at this debate, too, trying to share 6%. So I know they said Pence, Christie, and Asa Hutchinson were not there. Nikki Haley, I think at this time, barely qualifies with her little 2%. So that's where we're at. So if you're not rolling at 2% at this particular time, you're not. Somebody could make a big move and go up from 1% to like 5%. But you're not going from 1% to 60. So I don't know how much time these people are going to give themselves to before they fail out. And I hope that some of these people learn from their poor showing. And the thing is that Tucker should be the easiest of your questioning, because pucker is supposed to be on your side for the most part, but if you can't answer the questions correctly or at least have some semblance of being somebody, then Tucker's job is not to be the lapdog for the Republican Party. His job is not to make everybody look good. So anybody that's a war hawk and a globalist, you had an opportunity to show your colors. And you could tell there is a huge divide right now. And if you are on the side of globalism, then don't expect to win this election. This is not a globalism moment here. We already have that with Brandon. And we're going to see more of that in the very near future. We don't want, and Tim Scott said something about how we need to end the war in Ukraine, but we can't right now because it will disrupt the New World Order. I'm not willing to say you did a good job if your goal is to not disrupt a one-world government. And I just can't believe these people just lined up. They lined up like they're part of the firing squad. They were not... Mike Pence was the only one that felt like he didn't want to be there. Mike Pence looked like he was a waiter and there was a $100 bill by the three people that just ate dinner. And he's mad that they only left him a 10. And he didn't feel like being there anymore. He looked like he was just upset because the little old lady was complaining that there's a hair in her roast beef. And his job was basically to say, well, don't look at me. I'm just the waiter. That's honestly what he looked like to me, just passing it off. So you want to run on Trump's record, but you're not Trump. And you believe in globalism and a Ukraine war. But then everybody else steps up there and talks about how they're all gender inclusive and that they love the Ukraine war. So you honestly could not tell Nikki Haley apart from Mike Pence or Asa Hutchinson or Tim Scott even. DeSantis did okay. Vivek did really well. I think even Trump acknowledged that the way Vivek is talking, he would make a fairly good vice president. So, I don't know. Vivek is not even 40 years old. I'm not holding that against him. But I like the spirit that he has. I don't know if this is his election necessarily. But who knows, maybe having a four-year vice president, he looks like somebody you can trust as vice president. And being an outsider, I can respect that. least at the end of the day, Vivek makes me want to hear more. There's no, I want to hear more from Asa Hutchinson. I don't want people to go up there talking about how inclusive they are to transgendered and that he wants to make it easy for transgender kids of any age to get gender reassignment surgery. If you want to never get elected, you can go ahead and say that, and we'll just go ahead and have security bring you out. I think that's fair because that's all that's going to happen. So, let's see here. I want to... I thought I had more. Let me look at my clips here. I was going to play something here. Oh, I must not have. All right. All right, did I do that? All right, let me, I can go to this, I guess. I'm going to upload a clip right now. So as bad as Nikki Haley and Asa Hutchinson were, and Tim Scott to a degree, this Mike Pence moment, this is worse than when Ross Perot's running mate said, hang on, I don't have my hearing aid on. What was that, 1992 election? And I can't remember that guy. But all I remember from that debate is, wait a minute, I don't have my hearing aid on by the vice president that Perot would have had. But when you say, what about the U.S., and you say it's not my concern, I don't know what's worse, you saying that, or you trying to walk it back and say that you did not say that. Because it's on video. Everybody knows you said it. You can't say you didn't say it. So I'm going to play this clip. It might be a little long. So let's have at it.
How many COVID shots did you take?
Zero.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's your boy, Benny. We are here in Palm Beach for ActCon with Turning Point USA. But in Iowa right now, there is the Family Leadership Summit where Tucker Carlson is grilling some of the presidential candidates, five, and he is absolutely committing murder, suicides on stage. This tweet is going thermonuclear. Mike Pence ending his career. I've never seen a presidential candidate commit suicide on stage before. Mike Pence literally gets his career ended by Tucker Carlson in this moment. I've never seen anything like it. Tucker Carlson talks about the problems in America, and Mike Pence says, I'm not concerned with those, and then goes on to talk about how much he loved Ukraine. Check this out.
We're saying maybe January we'll let somebody transfer some jets.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President. I know you're running for president. You are distressed that the Ukrainians don't have enough American tanks. Every city in the United States has become much worse over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Drive around. There's not one city that's gotten better in the United States. And it's visible. Our economy has degraded. The suicide rate has jumped. Public filth and disorder and crime have exponentially increased. And yet, your concern is that the Ukrainians, a country most people can't find on a map, who've received tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars, don't have enough tanks. Right. I think it's a fair question to ask, like, where's the concern for the United States in that?
Well, it's not my concern. Tucker, I've heard that routine from you before, but that's not my concern. I'm running for president of the United States because I think this country's in a lot of trouble.
It's worth actually reading the dialogue. I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President. You're distressed that Ukrainians don't have enough American tanks. Every city in the United States has become worse over the past 3 years. Drive around. There's not one city that's gotten better. It's visible. The economy's degraded. Suicide rates jump. Public filth. Disorder. Crime. Ukrainians not having enough tanks. That's your problem? Where's your concern for the United States? That's not my concern, says Pence. This is the end of a man's life. This is the end of a man's political career. You will never be able to recover from this. Trust me, I've done this a very long time. You will never be able to recover from this moment, Mike Pence. So you're done. You're done. But Tucker Carlson wasn't done yet. Tucker Carlson just absolutely going like a lawnmower on a hot summer's day in Sawgrass through the GOP field of cucks and of rhinos who want to effectively run just so that they can try and take out Trump. Tucker grills Tim Scott on the Ukraine conflict. Why not force peace? Check this out.
You know, the Third World War very quickly. So why not force a peace?
How would you do that?
Well, you could tell Ukraine, and they are a client state of the United States. Without American backing, there's kind of no Ukraine. We're literally paying the salaries of their bureaucrats. We want you to sit down, as they tried to do, but were stopped by our government, and stop this war.
Yeah.
And reach a peace as one does, where both sides, you know, concede some of their interests. Like, why wouldn't that be in our interest to do that?
I think the faster we get to peace, the better off we are. What we don't want to do, from my perspective, is allow ourselves to ask for a premature peace that cannot be achieved as the alliances continue to come together. To the extent that we can find our path out of this situation, the better off we are.
So what's the point at which we'll know that we've achieved our goal? Just and I say that within the context of having watched 20 years of occupation in Afghanistan, where nobody could answer the question, what's the point?
Yeah.
And no one in Congress ever asked that question, amazingly. So what is the specific goal here?
Yeah, so I would say that the objective should be for Zelensky and Ukraine to be able to achieve victory by maintaining as much of their territory as they possibly can, and then seeing the resources that we've deployed, along with our Western alliances, achieving the peace that I believe comes when you get these two folks to sit down and have a conversation that allows them to determine where those lines will be drawn for the next 100 years.
Okay.
Ooh, man, Tim Scott. You know, I got, like, necessarily nothing against Tim Scott, but he's on the wrong side of history on that one. Mike Pence, again, just absolutely obliterated. How about Nikki Haley? Tucker Carlson, nobody would say Joe Biden is a great candidate. He didn't campaign. He was not a figure who commanded any respect among Democrats. Nobody said, I want my kids to grow up to be Joe Biden. So how did he get 81 million votes, 15 million more than Barack Obama? Asking the questions that these people deserve to be asked. And Nikki Haley just straight up jaw on the floor shaking. Check it out.
You think about the last election, mm-hmm. and what happened. Historic numbers for the current president. 81 million votes. 15 million more than Barack Obama, twice the population of New York City more than Barack Obama. What do you think of that?
In terms of Biden?
Yeah. 81 million votes. They are saying that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. And my question is, do you accept that? And second, how do you think he did that?
I mean, all I care about is changing that. Like, we can't afford a President Kamala Harris. I will say that over and over.
Amen.
And we have to do everything we can to make sure that that happens.
But as a mechanical question, it's not a trick question, it's just like the mechanics of it, something you're thinking about since you're running, I don't think anyone would say Joe Biden was a great candidate.
No.
Didn't campaign.
He didn't campaign at all.
He was not a figure who commanded respect among Democrats. They made fun of him. I'm not attacking the guy, but that's true.
Right.
Nobody in Washington said, I want my kid to grow up to be Joe Biden. And yet, at the end, he's got 81 million votes. 15 million more than Barack Obama, who, whatever you think of him, was a very talented politician and, I think, smart. So, like, how did he do that? And what can we learn from that?
Well,
and of course, honorable mention here, Asa, emphasis on the ass, Asa Hutchinson, somehow inexplicably from Arkansas, the former governor of Arkansas, replaced by the great Sarah Sanders, asked, how many COVID shots did you take? Oh, man. And Tucker goes, how about zero? Alpha moment here, alpha energy, take it.
Then how many COVID shots did you take, and how do you feel about it now, in retrospect?
How many COVID shots did you take?
Zero.
Tucker Carlson is, of course, being lauded across the internet for this. All right, who's up next? says the Columbia Bugle, Tucker Carlson, lighting a fat stogie, ready to go. There are people who are actually answering good questions, however, and delivering excellent responses. It should act as no surprise to you that Vivek Ramaswamy is one of them. Tucker Carlson says maybe January 6th wasn't an insurrection. Vivek's answer is B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas. So good, so excellent, so thorough and thought out. This is why this man is rising like a shooting star in the polls.
So let's just go through the list. Another thing you can't say is that maybe January 6th, while appalling on one level, maybe it was not an insurrection.
So let me talk about, I haven't talked about this much in the campaign. I'll be very honest with you. You want to know what caused January 6th? There's such a temptation to say that there's one man whose name is unspeakable.
No, first of all, it's QAnon.
You want to know what caused January 6th? Is pervasive censorship in this country in the lead up to January 6th. You tell people in this country they cannot speak, that is when they scream. You tell people they cannot scream, that is when they tear things down. And so the reality is, we were told that you could not question where the virus came from when we all knew it came from a lab in Wuhan, which now they admit. We were told that you could not send a private message to someone on the eve of an election that Hunter Biden's laptop story was actually a true story worth considering before an election. You were systematically suppressed. So this is, think about this. You told you had to be locked down, had to take a vaccine that was mandated and forced down your throat, stay locked down in your home while Antifa and BLM roam and burn the streets of this country. So that's the lead up of one full year of telling people you have to shut up, sit down, and do as you're told. And then you tell them, okay, there's an election where you didn't get the information that you needed, such as the Hunter Biden laptop story being real and suppressed. That's what caused January 6th, is a cycle of censorship in this country. And until we look ourselves in the mirror and admit truth on that, we will not move forward as a country. And I think that's the real cause. And we're not. And I'm sorry to say this, Tucker, but I think until we reckon with that reality, I worry that that is the beginning of, it's a friendly parley compared to what's to come, unless we step up and speak truth, restore integrity, and actually lead us to who we are as a people rather than sweeping the truth under the rug.
People online, Emerald Robinson, a great reporter, saying it looks like the Blaze TV conspired with Tucker Carlson to decimate the field of lame GOP candidates by setting up this debate, simply a massacre of GOP donors and their pet. This guy, Zachary Henry, saying, if you cannot handle this chair, Tucker Carlson here at the Family Policy Alliance, then you cannot handle this chair. Such a great point. Really, really excellent point there. And Sean Davis saying, there's a reason the GOP establishment desperately wanted Tucker Carlson off the airwaves. His questioning today shows he's one-man wrecking ball against the garbage establishment talking points, neocon ideology. Just roasting. And that's exactly right. Who wanted Tucker off the air more? Republicans? Establishment Republican cucks and rhinos or libs? That is actually a very good question that you should like put out there and ask yourself. Who wanted Tucker off the air more? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think I know the answer to that one. These individuals do not deserve to be president. They should drop out of the race right now. They've been humiliated. Mike Pence especially, but Nikki Haley, very poor performance. Tim Scott, poor performance. Asa Hutchinson, who the hell is that guy? There is one guy, though, who did an absolutely excellent job on an answer that I thought was just jaw-dropping. And we would be remiss without putting this at the end of the video. Is Vivek Ramaswamy talking about forever war and the warmongering establishment. This is so good. Check it out.
In time with them, we saw yesterday that a group of reservists has been called up to Europe, apparently, to prepare for war with Russia. Of people in the age cohort who might plausibly be called up to do that, what's the response?
I think there is no basis for us to send our young men and women, our sons and daughters, people my age or any age, to go defend somebody else's border halfway around the world when we should be using our own military to secure our own border in this country. And I will not apologize for that. We have to put the interests of this country first. And one of the things that does frustrate me, Tucker, is that this is one issue where I so love many of the other people who are running for this nomination for president. I think most of us and the entire field I speak for are in this for the right reasons. We are people who care about our country and want to deliver our country to a better place. But on this issue, nearly our entire field is indistinguishable in practice from where Biden is on this, which is in an undefined, ill-defined way pouring more money into a war that I think is destined to become Vietnam or Iraq all over again. And if you don't learn from the lessons of the past, you're going to be making the same mistakes on an even larger scale going forward. We have to end this war. We can end this war and start prioritizing the interests of actual U.S. citizens here at home.
So I think, judging by the response you just got, I think a chunk of, I don't know what percentage, but a lot of Republican primary voters agree with you. Not all, but a lot. I don't think any Republican donors agree with you.
I think that's accurate. And I've lost, to be really honest with you, I've lost many large donors or prospective donors over this issue. And it puzzles me. Because I think the tempting thing to say is to have some conspiratorial explanation that they have money at stake and government contractors, Raytheon or whatever. I don't think that's true, actually. I think there's something else going on in the psychology of an establishment in both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party that is reluctant to the idea that we somehow can't be the ones fighting the war that's the popular war of the day, the politically correct war. I think there's no such thing as a politically correct war. And so what I ask is, how are we actually going to end this conflict in a way that advances U.S. interests? And the thing that puzzles me, Tucker, is nobody in either party is talking about this right now. The Russia-China alliance is the single greatest threat that the U.S. actually faces today. And we are pushing Russia closer into China's arms by actually continuing to arm Ukraine. So what I've said is that I would negotiate a deal that ends the Ukraine war, frees the current lines of control. Yes, that means giving part of the Donbas region to Russia. I would make a hard commitment that NATO never admits Ukraine to NATO. And those seem like unspeakable words in the, certainly the Republican donor class. But we get something greater in return, which is that Putin, in that case, would have to exit his military partnership with China and remove nuclear weapons from Kaliningrad, which border Poland, and get the Russian military out of Cuba and Venezuela and the West. And this is a deal that Putin should do because he ends up winning. He gets things that he doesn't have today. But it secures American interests, too. And I do think in a weird way, it does take an outsider to get that job done. Because if you want someone to fix a problem, you don't turn over the keys to somebody who actually broke the thing in the first place. If you want to fix it, maybe have somebody who didn't break it in the first place, and that's part of why I'm in this race as an outsider.
Okay. Well, since you're getting radical now, let's go through a list of all the other things you're not allowed to say. So you've just said, you know, you're not attacking anybody, but this doesn't seem to be helping us. In fact, it seems to be creating an alliance that we can't beat, and really, it's pretty scary. So let's just go through the list. Another thing you can't say is that maybe January 6th, while appalling on one level, maybe it was not an insurrection.
So let me talk about, I haven't talked about this much in the campaign. I'll be very honest with you. You want to know what caused January 6th? There's such a temptation to say that there's one man whose name is unspeakable.
No, first of all, it's QAnon.
You want to know what caused January 6th? Is pervasive censorship in this country in the lead up to January 6th. You tell people in this country they cannot speak, that is when they scream. You tell people they cannot scream, that is when they tear things down. And so the reality is, we were told that you could not question where the virus came from when we all knew it came from a lab in Wuhan, which now they admit. We were told that you could not send a private message to someone on the eve of an election that Hunter Biden's laptop story was actually a true story worth considering before an election. You were systematically suppressed. So this is, think about this. You told you had to be locked down, had to take a vaccine that was mandated and forced down your throat, stay locked down in your home while Antifa and BLM roam and burn the streets of this country. So that's the lead up of one full year of telling people you have to shut up, sit down, and do as you're told. And then you tell them, okay, there's an election where you didn't get the information that you needed, such as the Hunter Biden laptop story being real and suppressed. That's what caused January 6th, is a cycle of censorship in this country. And until we look ourselves in the mirror and admit truth on that, we will not move forward as a country. And I think that's the real cause. We're not, and I'm sorry to say this, Tucker, but I think until we reckon with that reality, I worry that that is the beginning of, it's a friendly parley compared to what's to come.
I wonder what you do with the millions of foreign nationals here illegally, many with fake papers, who are here. Like, what do you do with them? You become president,
yes,
sworn in January 2025, and you've got, let's say, 7 million people who've come in the last 4 years. Do you... What do you do? I can't imagine many people would disagree with that. I wonder what you do with the millions of foreign nationals here illegally, many with fake papers, who are here. Like, what do you do with them? You become president,
yes,
sworn in January 2025, and you've got, let's say, 7 million people who've come in the last 4 years. What do you do with them? Do you deport them?
I think it's a very difficult task to deport them all at one time, but here's what we make sure they never do, is you never break the law and become an American citizen by breaking the laws.
Well, hold on, but would you deport any of them? How many would you deport?
I think you have to start the process of identifying where they are. And listen, this is a really important question. I hope that we don't miss this. Because those folks who come into our country illegally, even those who are seeking asylum, go around our country, and some of the asylum dates for your court appearance is 2033, 10 years from now. So finding those who come to our country illegally has to be a part of job number one. And that means that we're going to have to take a look panoramically across our country and make sure that we stop this thing called sanctuary cities and sanctuary states that receive our resources to make sure that the federal government cannot figure out what the folks are. So in order for us to achieve the goals that the really brilliant guy on the stage, I'm not talking about myself, wants us to achieve. That was a compliment, by the way.
Oh, Charlie, right over my head.
I want to make sure. I guess sometimes I give compliments, I have to let people
brilliant know.
Brilliant,
yeah,
okay. Really smart cookie over here. Achieve. We have to identify where they are, and I'm not going to pretend that that will be an easy task, but that should be the response.
Well, wait a second. The federal government, like, knows where everyone is because everyone has a smartphone, and they're tracking
you. Yes.
You know, so, like, we know anyone using a fake social security number, want to just, like, drop them off in Tijuana. Bye-bye.
I'm going to appoint Tucker Carlson as my bye-bye ambassador.
Reason that people come by the millions,
yes,
uninvited, illegally, making a mockery of the rule of law. I have to obey the law, but someone from Haiti doesn't, or what? But they come because they know that no politician will say, come in, you're leaving. Like, they don't put up with this in Japan.
Absolutely.
Well, they'll say, you're gone. Why not do that?
Here's the fact. I would recommend that we do that. The question is that doing that is finding the 7 million that's already here and getting rid of them was the first question. But the second question is a better question because if you look at the laws of Mexico, they have the same laws. They're stringent laws. The second time you're caught in the country, I believe the offense is 10 years in prison.
Oh, of course.
And so
it's a real country.
We enforce the laws of our country, and if we did so, we would not have a problem. What we have today is a president who does not mind our border being insecure, unsafe, and wide open. If I was president, we would shut that down, and we would stop folks. We would put back in place a final policy that requires you to receive or to request asylum on the countries that are contiguous to you, with you, which doesn't include America, and we would also reinstate the stay in Mexico policy. So we would find a better path forward by just finishing the wall, reinstating policies that work, and stop that flow.
Well, so here's the thing.
Former Fox News host Tucker Carlson went on Russell Brand's show, where he broke down how his questions over the January 6th Capitol riots led to his firing from the network, according to him. Here's what he told Russell. Let's watch.
They immediately recoiled when you asked any questions about January 6th, and that was a tip-off to me. I mean, I had no thought in my head as I watched this happen on television and in the subsequent weeks that U.S. law enforcement or military agencies had anything to do with it. That never crossed my mind. I never thought it was a false flag or anything like that. I'm not a conspiracist by temperament. I never thought that. And then I interviewed the chief of the Capitol Police, Stephen Sund, in an interview that was never aired on Fox. By the way, I was fired before it could air. I'm going to interview him again. But Stephen Sund was the totally non-political, worked for Nancy Pelosi. I mean, this is not some right-wing activist. He was the chief of the Capitol Police on January 6th. And he said, oh, yeah, 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 that crowd was filled with federal agents. What? Yes. Well, he would know, of course, because he was in charge of security at the site.
Carlson, who continued his show on Twitter, also opened up about finding a new home on the social media site where he's been able to broadcast freely.
I've made zero money since I left, and that's fine. But at some point I'd like to, but I'm not working for Elon Musk. He hasn't offered to hire me, and if he did, I wouldn't accept. But what he's done is offered me what he's offered every other user of Twitter, which is a chance to broadcast your views without a gatekeeper there. But I do think, I think the technology at Twitter is, my expectation, is evolving. And I think, the subscription model, might work or it might not. I don't know, but I think it might. And I plan to stay there. But what social media offer in the short term, at least for me, is an audience, but also a reason, this is personal, but a reason to write.
So it's worth noting that he describes having this conversation with the chief of Capitol Police. The U.S. Capitol Police chief, Tom Manger, slammed Tucker Carlson, his reporting on the January 6th issue, saying it was, quote, offensive and offered offensive and misleading conclusions about the siege. Others in Republican leadership, including Mitch McConnell, also disagreed with how Tucker Carlson was reporting on that particular issue. Just to make it clear, yeah, that there was some difference of opinion even within the conservative media and political, right, ecosystem on that particular,
although,
issue.
I fully believe there was a crowd of, thousands and thousands of people there. Right-wing activists, conservative activists, 95% of which didn't do anything but practice their First Amendment protected activity.
Yeah.
A small number of whom, went into the Capitol, smashed windows, trespassed, roughed up cops. They're being prosecuted as they should. All well and good. I am sure it doesn't strike me as ridiculous at all that there were assets of law enforcement and law enforcement agents among those people, as there are in every protest movement. We find that there are assets of law enforcement. The whole Gretchen Whitmer, the Michigan governor kidnapping, they're all assets being paid by law enforcement. I'm sure that these people are, some of them are law enforcement loving people anyway. Some of them are cops of various these are right-wing people. They're law enforcement by, they're militia people. They're in and out of law enforcement. It's those kind of people. Now, does that mean this was organized by national security people or something to create some kind of false flag? No. I mean, to the extent it was organized by Donald Trump.
By Donald Trump. That's exactly what
I
was going to say.
I was there. I covered it.
Yeah.
I saw what happened. It very much looked to me like a spontaneous riot that from a very overhyped crowd. If you've covered protests, I'm sure you've covered protests, you've been at things where a couple people make it get out of hand, and
sure,
then it just kind of like they lose control of it. That's what it looked like to me. It didn't look organized. Like, the decision to go in did not actually look like a decision. Like, it was like someone said, go, 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 now we go. It seemed like it just got out of control.
Yeah, well, what's so ironic about it is that immediately in the aftermath of January 6th, a lot of liberal and left commentators made a similar kind of claim, but based in the idea that there's a natural sympathy for conservative movements among the police force. And there were these clips of what appeared to be police officers opening gates and letting people in and having these kind of friendly interactions with the crowd that many who are not sympathetic to conservative ideology saw as evidence that they basically, if not promoted this, allowed it to happen,
right,
in a way they would not have had it been a left-leaning organization,
right,
like Black Lives Matter. And that's obviously very subjective. But the point that, the chief of the police, Tom Manger, was making was that he said it was irresponsible to say that the Capitol Police were letting people in and doing those sorts of things, which from a professional perspective, he's obviously going to say that, right? He has,
right,
to stand up for his underlings,
yeah,
and say that they weren't doing that. Also, there's, I'm sure, liability issues and all these kind of professional implications to that. But I don't think it's scandalous for anybody, including a reporter like Tucker Carlson, to be looking into the nuances of what happened that day. I think the more strong pushback that he got was what people perceived to be cherry-picking aspects of the footage to absolve the group as a whole of responsibility for any violence that day, calling the group that, you know, pushed their way in and broke windows and did actual violence and destruction in the Capitol, tour guide or sightseers, some phrase like that, that really felt like it was minimizing the moment as a whole, and also not focusing in on your really excellent point, which is that if anybody orchestrated this or pushed people to feel like they were entitled to enter the Capitol, it was Donald Trump.
Yeah, I want to push back in two directions because I agree. I don't think, as some on the right have tried to paint this as, oh, it was all fine, and then there was a plot to embarrass Trump and make people go in, and everyone who led that was actually secretly working for the deep state or something. That is not accurate. I'm pushing back on that. But many of the mainstream media have done the opposite and tried to say that, no, it was this very organized effort by right-wing actors. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been conspiracy charges against, the Proud Boy type people, using this elaborate scheme, suggesting, like, a plot to overthrow the Republic by highly skilled tactics. But there was training and rehearsals, and they planned for this, and they organized on social media, and Parler's at fault too, and social, and Zuckerberg, and everybody, because they didn't grapple with it. Like, it was all, the coup was happening, and that idea, which I think is being spoon-fed to mainstream audiences for mainstream news publications, is also very wrong. Was just most people, they were there for the wrong reason. Trump shouldn't have said the things he said. He hyped up the crowd. Some of them rioted. They trespassed. It's bad. They need to go to jail. Like, that's not satisfying to either of these two extremes, but that's what happened.
I mean, look, given what the Democrats have done politically with 1/6, the increased funding to Capitol Police, the framing of it as an insurrection, and that they need to vote for Democrats, you need to vote for Democrats to save democracy, that doesn't hold, that framing doesn't exist unless you are able to turn a moment of civil disobedience or a riot into a democracy-threatening political act that was actually going to overturn the results of an election. So there's an obvious political need for Democrats to frame this in a certain way, rightly or wrongly. And similarly, I think conservatives are sensitive to that and trying to reframe it in a way that makes it less than that. So the truth is going to be someplace in between, and I don't think it's useful. I don't think it's convenient to liberals in this moment that there have been so many instances of FBI and CIA interference in domestic movements. The Gretchen Whitmer case, assassinating any number of civil rights leaders, rounding up the African Black Socialist members last summer, the domestic terrorism charges that have been applied to the Cop City protesters. There really is a sincere overreach that's happening from these federal agencies. And so if you don't want to give conservatives the opportunity to claim that everything is a false flag, then maybe stop interfering in movements in the way that you have been doing.
Do some acknowledgement.
Yeah.
But it's just, they've been sorted into the people who love the FBI and the State Department and national security officials are now like mainstream liberal Democrats.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting sorting. We should comment before we move on Tucker's what Tucker had to say about the Elon Twitter situation. Mm. So confirming there that he doesn't have some kind of deal where he's being paid for by Elon. Thinks that, hopes the subscription model works out, says maybe it won't, seem pretty like, I'm enjoying being on social media and it's a good place to post. And
yeah, you thought that's fine. You thought that sounded like he was actually enjoying not getting paid for his work.
Well, I think he, like you said, wants to get paid eventually.
Yeah, look,
I think he appreciates not being told. It sounds like, even based on his comments on trying to interview the guy about January 6th, that maybe he's getting more frustration and pushback and getting told what to do at Fox. And that was just
he's happy to have a freedom. I believe that. It is worth noting, though, that he cannot be paid as a condition of getting his Fox there's this legal dispute that he's in mm-hmm. where there's millions of dollars on the line, and I suspect that his lawyers have advised him also not to admit to being compensated in any way. That's not to say that he is being compensated, but there's very good legal reasons why he wouldn't necessarily want to telegraph any long-term fee arrangement that he might have made to, that actually make him whole for all of the work that he's putting in on this, you know, very popular Twitter show.
Hmm. Well, we will continue talking about this in just a minute. More Rising after these.
All right, so we're back here, just letting some clips play. I know Vito said he was going to call back in here, so I was trying to be patient waiting for him. But I'll move on to a couple other articles while we're waiting. So, In-N-Out Burger, and if I would have known this sooner, I actually would have gone there for dinner. There's an In-N-Out Burger down the street from my house, and I'm not a huge In-N-Out guy. Everybody on the West Coast seems to think this place is like the best ever. And I will give them some street cred because they are a Christian-based company and they don't give in to wokeness. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and share this on my Twitter. There's a Twitter page for Freedomizer, which I just posted on. And I'm going to throw this on my spy book, too, for good measure. So In-N-Out today said that you're no longer allowed to wear scams at the workplace. There is no longer a reason to wear scams. So the leftists are very upset at that because they want the ability to wear their scams. So they told employees coronavirus crisis is over. The emergency ended over a year ago. And scams don't work. And the burger company said, if you're an employee, you're not going to wear a scam. And so now there are people trying to create boycotts and protests. There's a website, I guess, that's where you could sign to demand that In-N-Out employees not just volunteer to wear scams, but they all need to wear scams. And good luck with that. So the Gateway Pundit just put this out, and they put a poll asking if you agree with In-N-Out's policy, and 99% of the public says yes. 1% says no, that this is hilarious. So these maskies, these scammies, I should say, the guidelines are no scams shall be worn in the store or support facility unless the associate has a valid medical note exempting them from this requirement. Now, if they wear a scam for medical reasons, they must wear a company-provided N95. So not just that cheap blue scam that the box says does not protect you from COVIDs, but they say it's the best way to protect yourself from COVIDs. So this policy applies to all stores and support staff working in every state that they have employees in, except associates who wear them as part of their job duty as a patty room associate, a lab tech, a painter, etc. So, and they're telling you that you have to have a valid medical note with a doctor in order to wear scams.
So, hey, I'm in full agreement. There's no... Do you see people dropping dead from getting COVID? The only people getting them, the only people getting COVID are the ones that got the gene therapy. And we've known that for years. It's just now finally mainstream. And the only people wearing scams are Democrat voters. So I agree that unless you're on a radio station such as Freedomizer, where our job basically relies on giving you our political thoughts, an average office should not have political bias. And even so, you should not be wearing political bias on your person. So it is 100% safe to say that wearing a scam is a political bias. And I'll say it again. Not all Democrats wear scams, but all scammies are Democrats. And you can take that to the bank. Unless somebody has a verified medical note where they have the N95 properly fitting scam and not a cloth one that says Black Lives Matter or Trump sucks or Brandon 2024. A cloth mask, you may as well just put a T-shirt over your head. That's as much as that scam is going to do for you. And, yeah, I've called them scams since, what, the first week? And I was one of the first people to come out and say, you're not getting me to wear a scam, no way, no how. Still, to this day, I've never worn a scam. And I don't care. I'm not a scam wearer. If somebody wants to get scammed, all I could say is that I hope more companies do this. I can't believe we still have companies where I had to go to Cox Cable a couple weeks back. And this one lady said, look, I can't help you just yet. I don't have my scam on. So I guess she was waiting to clock in. And I guess her rule is when that particular person is clocked in, then they put their scam on. But you told me ahead of time that you're not open until you put your scam on. So it was okay then to catch COVID, but not when you punch in. That's the whole confusing part, but that's just the righteousness that the younger generation feels, I guess. So something I have seen, and I think we're going to see this. I'm hopeful, but the class that just graduated high school between 2010 to we'll just say this year, that is part of the Brandon grooming class. Those are the ones that will be addicted to their scams probably for life, unless they have a job at In-N-Out Burger and they're not allowed to wear them, then they'll see. But the youth, I think we're going to go back
to a situation where it's only normal for kids to rebel against authoritarians. It's not normal for kids to say, yes, I'm gonna do everything that the government tells me because I'm a good person. People believe that in the beginning. And these kids were pressured to wear their scams. And they did it, and they were politicized. But you have the kids in the 7th, 8th grades that their mind was not fully made up yet. And now, as they become more authoritarian, the kids that are in high school now, they're not interested. And as a matter of fact, I don't even know if all that is accurate, because the youth right now, even the ones that graduated high school over the last few years, there is almost record low sign-ups between age 18 and 23 for new Democrat voters. People that are signing up under that age, they're either independent or they're Republican, because the Democrats went too far. And as it turns out, there's another way through this too. And this could be part of it, I don't know. But you know how there's a split with the Republican Party, with rhinos versus the Trump crowd? And the rhinos are losing, and it's not even close. The Democrats are there too. You have the traditional Democrats, or I should say the Biden side, which I don't think he's a traditional Democrat at all, but we'll just use that as an example, versus the Bernie Sanders AOC, which is even more extreme. Or as we could call them, they're the Antifa left. And whoever is going to be the Democrat nominee, whether it's Brandon, whether it's Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady, whether it is Governor Grusom, they are going to have to cater to the wokeness. If you want to win as a Democrat, the Democrat Party left the regular Democrats. And there are people that they will look at Robert F. Kennedy. Of course, the Democrat Party won't let him snip the nomination. But if they would, the Democrats would have a fighting chance without voter fraud, but they'd rather try their hand at voter fraud, just like how Bitch McConnell said he'd rather lose the Senate than to have Trump-type Republicans in there. The Democrats feel the same way, that they don't want to win if it means that their particular side is not in power. So I would love to see a matchup personally. And if it's Trump versus, I don't know if it'll be Kerry Lake. I don't know. He said Tim Scott is considered a finalist. I don't know if I like that move. I understand it, but I don't know. Vivek Ramaswamy is in that mix. I think those would be the top three for the vice president. But if the Democrats rolled out a Robert F. Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard campaign, on paper, you would think that they would have a fighting chance to win. But that is the very last thing in the world. They would rather have Trump run the Democrat Party than to have Robert F. Kennedy. They will do whatever, and I mean whatever. I mean, they killed his cousin. They killed his dad. They killed his uncle. What do you think they're going to do to him? Just speculation. I don't see Robert F. Kennedy being allowed in a normal election where there's no voter fraud. I would think that I don't think Kennedy, I still don't think Brandon loses to Kennedy, but it would be a lot closer. There is no way otherwise that the Democrat Party is going to take votes away from Trump and give them to Brandon. Brandon has earned jack diddly squat. And he's not going to campaign? A few people said Brandon's acting like he already knows that he won the election in 2024. So, I guess he knows he's not running and just doesn't plan on saying anything. It could be one of the two. And I'll just let everybody know, I don't see Kennedy, even if they just switched out Gruesome or Big Mike, who's a nice lady, they swap out Brandon for one of them clowns, that nobody's, well, no, I don't think enough people would want Gruesome, but they would be catering to the Antifa left. That's what we have to call them. I'm not going to spend my life worrying about if I'm being a nice person to a group of people that, as I don't know who heard this, but you have Kamala saying the quiet part out loud with depopulation, how they need to reduce energy and reduce population to get clean air and clean water. Can you imagine a vice president just flat out telling everybody that we need to depopulate? That's going to get you 81 million more votes, telling everybody that we're going to depopulate? Hey, people may not believe me, so I'm going to play it.
The left rushing to blame global warming for that dangerous heat wave gripping the nation and the world right now. But I think the heat's getting to their heads. Climate change-obsessed liberals are actually acting crazier than usual, with eco-extremists in Germany literally gluing their hands to airport runways as a way to sound the alarm on how the planet's cooked. It wound up blocking plane traffic at two airports for hours until officials ripped the protesters off the concrete. Mm-hmm. Kamala is also getting herself into somewhat of a sticky situation. while pumping up the climate hysteria, check out this huge gaffe she made.
Every day, all across our nation, we feel and see the impact of the climate crisis. It is clear that the clock is not only ticking, it is banging, and we must act. Think about the impact on something like public health. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
The White House forced to clean that one up, posting a corrected, quote-unquote, version of the transcript of her speech that claims Harris meant to say pollution instead of population. And while Kamala claims it was just a gaffe, liberals seem to agree with it. 53% of parents say that global warming affects their decision to have more kids. Greg, it was pretty hot over the weekend. Do you think it's because of global warming?
No, but I think that what she did was she unintentionally said the true meaning of what the climate activism is. They see population as pollution, as something that needs to be reduced, not the carbon footprint, but your actual literal footprint. And then you see these activists gluing themselves. The thing that drives me crazy about that is, okay, as activists, that's their role. And I understand that role. But you know that they actually go home and see their families on holidays, or they'll go on a vacation. They do these things. We have to get all of their personal information out there so that we know when they're traveling that we get to make it as difficult as possible for them.
All right.
You know, because it's like, why, like, the only, this is, we know, like, if they didn't use planes, trains, or automobiles, then I would respect this in a way, but you know they aren't. They're ruining other people's lives, either temporarily. And I think that's the problem with the climate movement, is they've done more to harm the environment than actual pollution, because they were hijacked by extremists. And you have all this lost opportunities for actual debate. All the people that are that have really fresh ideas, whether it's, you know, Bjorn Lomberg or Schellenberger, they're outside the debate because this debate has been hijacked by two people. People seeking status and people paying for that status. So you have the corporations and the people that want to be included in this. They're the ones that are driving this extremism.
So, Janine, how would you handle one of these protesters gluing their hands to concrete on the tarmac?
Well, one of the things that I think we need to recognize is these are like a bunch of spoiled kids. They're trying to be whatever, leftist. They're trying to make their, you know, make their voices heard, so to speak. And the truth is they're doing nothing but engaging in criminal behavior. That is criminal behavior. And the more people let them get away with it and just move them out of the way, or like take a little knife to make sure the glue comes off so they don't hurt their hands that are glued to the tarmac, or apparently in Hamburg, they delayed, canceled, and diverted 47 flights. I mean, we just let them get away with it. Same thing with the Walton Harris's yacht. They right. were spray painting it red and black, and they're talking about how she's such a horrible person, and the truth is that you've got a Walmart heiress who provides 2.1 million jobs, 2.1 million jobs in this country, okay? And yet they want to criticize her. They want to destroy her boat. They want to say that she's a horrible person. I don't see anybody going after John Kerry's airplanes, but that's, I'm sure, not intentional, I'm sure. It's accidental. But the truth is that you ought to leave them glued to the floor. And just like they did in one place, I don't know what country, I think it was Germany. It was the middle of winter. They went in, they glued themselves to this business. It may have been a car sales company. They glued themselves to the floor. You know what the business did? They turned out the lights. They turned off the heat. They locked them up in the place for the weekend, and they were moaning on Monday morning. We didn't have any food. We had to pee on ourselves. We didn't have any heat. You know what? That's the only way to treat them. They're criminals. Shut them down and end it.
Is it good enough for the White House the next day to just draw a line through a word in the transcript and then forget about the Kamala comment?
Well, you have a media that is very incurious. Right. Do you remember how much the media covered COFEPE?
Oh, right.
And then they can't cover this. I think amending transcripts, as long as they announce it or there's an asterisk or that it's clear, but that she didn't catch herself.
Yeah.
right? And say, wait, I mean, obviously
right.
I meant pollution. Like,
she didn't even.
She didn't.
Yeah.
But if you watch it closely, I've watched it a couple of times, I do think she was like, wait, was that the right word? Did I just say that? You know how sometimes you do that when you're, and you can misspeak when you're speaking live on television or at a speech, you can do that, but she didn't have the sense to catch herself. And also, she might mean it, and she didn't realize what the implication of that would be. I don't think any of this discussion is serious unless you're talking about a way to help people in the Southwest have access to more affordable energy. Mm-hmm. And access to more affordable energy, if you do that, means there's more innovation. That means there's money for innovation. Innovation leads to great technologies that will help you power more people there in their homes so that they can have the air conditioning that they need. And the same here in the Northeast. We covered a lot of stories, a tragic one, about the flooding that's happening in Vermont, all the way up and down the eastern seaboard. Terrible situation in Bucks County, PA yesterday. And what the infrastructure bill should do is to take a look and say, what do we need to do to reinforce and adapt to make sure that we can deal with this, not just by saying the energy companies should go bankrupt and go away and we should get rid of all of those jobs, but to say, what's the smart way to deal with this? And there is literally nobody on the left talking that way.
Speaking of someone on the left.
Except for Harold Ford Jr., who will say he's for an all-of-the-above strategy.
Who's on my
and
right.
It's good to be back here.
It is good. Harold?
Weekend was good. It's good to be back around the table.
Take it away.
So you have record temperatures in a lot of places across the country, including my home state of Tennessee, Texas, Mississippi, Florida, even in European nations, Poland, France, Italy, seeing record temperatures, Japan and China as well. Now, something's going on, and I think Dana – everybody's on to something here. Everybody is so comfortable being in their cocoon that they don't want to come out and say, all right, you're right about this, but I'm right about this also. Or you may not be right about this. I may not be right about this. Let's figure out ways in which to figure out how we build a new grid in Texas and across the Southwest. How do we provide more investments, Dana, to your point about innovations, to help create more energy, ample energy supplies here in our country? It reminds me of when some Democrats – like to say the cashless bail is working. They're wrong. Or when some Republicans say that everybody should have a gun, even if you kill somebody, you beat your wife, or you got the gun illegally. That's wrong. Democrats and Republicans are like those putting themselves, cementing themselves, or trying to glue themselves to the ground in an airport. You do nothing for the cause but basically make angry those on both sides. I get it. If that anger translates into us wanting to sit down and figure out how we reach some common ground here, then it's good, but I'm not sure that does it. I think Kamala Harris, I heard a fellow in the House, the Republican in the House the other day, talk about colored people. I like a few things in the most favorable light. I hope he meant people of color. And maybe she mistakenly said reduced population when she meant reduced pollution. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on it. But Democrats, Republicans alike, the problems are too big. The problems are too severe. Let's come together and figure out how we get an answer.
Yeah. You know, the problem, though, with this, like, I hate it on the right and the left of using the weather to say, it's hot. Right. Global warming. And then somebody will, like, some right winger will go, oh, it's freezing. Oh, where's that global warming? So they're actually cut from the same reasoning. It's the same thing. The problem with using weather, like saying, like, this place broke records. How many states, how many countries didn't break records? Nobody ever provides you the context of, like, three countries had record-breaking heat waves. It's like, well, how many countries are there? Like, I'm not.
Is this a quiz?
Yes, it is. Hold on a second.
Let's see.
Hey, Steve. No, it's probably like, how many countries are there? 800?
800? No, that's way too many.
That's too many
way
countries?
Too many, yeah.
All right.
What's it like, 100?
People at home, 80,
200? I don't know.
You know what? But they're comparing these guesses of global temperatures from hundreds and hundreds of years ago when people
there
never
were. There are 195 countries in the world.
Oh, I was off by a factor of four.
Very close. Yeah.
Off by a factor of four.
But the point is, as it relates to the average, I mean, and they're saying from years ago, nobody was keeping numbers 200 years ago. I don't know what they're comparing it to.
But they were keeping them 100. I hear you. But
they're saying 100.
But they're saying with technology today, you can look back and see. But the other point is, when it was hotter back then, there were no greenhouse. There were no man-made greenhouse gas emissions.
Right.
And
also woman-made.
I think that Harold's biased. I think you're biased because wherever you are, it's always hotter.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Kilmeade. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to click to subscribe to the Fox News YouTube page.
Dave Droeing, the founder of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, says that this is what motivated the group this year to invite President Xi Jinping to deliver the keynote address in Davos.
You'll own nothing. You're definitely going to be happy about it. And listen to Xi Jinping, the leader of the Chinese Communist Party, listen to him because he'll help you be more and more compliant with a willingness to own nothing while thinking you're happy about it. Welcome back to the JP Reacts channel, my beautiful freedom-loving friend, where we like to call out the lies, hypocrisy, and corruption of tyrants, shine the light of awareness on woke absurdities, and highlight the amazing work of other freedom fighters. You've heard a million times, you've been told, and hopefully you're not complying, you're going to own nothing and you're going to be happy about it. Famous words from the World Economic Forum and their prestiged, very unelected leader, Bond villain, Klaus Schwab. Now, in a second, we're going to take a look at a little compilation from the film The Great Awakening. It's the third installment in the Plandemic series from Mickey Willis. And this compilation, it's a great montage to show this communist agenda, which hinges on abolishing private property. You'll own nothing, and we're going to be happy about it. So abolishing private property for the greater good. It is in the playbook of communism. And they're trying to run the play here in America, certainly. They're just not saying, hey, guys, we're doing the playbook in communism. No, no, no. They're doing the playbook, and they always hide it under the guise of, this is for the greater good. Give up your gas stove. It's for the greater good. Give up your gas-guzzling car. It's for the greater good. Give up your property. It's for the greater good. Farmers, give up your land. It's for the greater good. How's that working out for you, Dutch farmers? There's a reason why they're resisting. But before we get to this short compilation of clips, I want to just read to you the Twitter message. This was posted by Mickey Willis. He's the filmmaker, director of The Great Awakening and the other Plandemic films. Proud to say he's a dear friend of mine. He's very wise. He exposes information. And also I know he's got a tremendous heart. He is out for the greater good. He wants you to own things. So you will be happy about it. So here's what Mickey said on Twitter. In the words of Karl Marx, the theory of communists may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. Today we have covert communists. They are indeed communists. They don't tell you that, but they're communists. Actions speak louder than words. So today we have covert communists, including the World Economic Forum's Klaus Schwab, forwarding ideologies such as you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. In other words, out of the communist playbook, what we have to do is the abolition of private property. He goes on, those who seek total control over humanity are working hard to condition us to expect less from life. Of course, the only way they can achieve this is by convincing the masses that it's for the greater good. Again, it's weaponized morality. I've pointed this out on other videos. Getting good people to think that doing a bad thing is a good thing, so they'll consent to it, obey, for the greater good because it's a good person. But when good people are using their brains, their own discernment, not outsourcing their thinking and being told this is a good thing, so I'm just going to take that at face value, the good people can see through this. Of course, the only way they can achieve this is by convincing the masses it's for the greater good. How much longer will we allow the power hungry to infringe on our human rights and civil liberties? How about I like the timeline of not a second longer. The power has always been in our hands. At what point are we willing to use it? Mickey Willis, father and filmmaker. Now let's take a look at his short compilation of clips supporting this message from his latest film, The Great Awakening.
In 2014, Klaus Schwab called for the Great Reset.
We need a Great Reset.
Which he positioned as the solution to the world's most urgent issues. The dark...
And Klaus, whoever elected you, whoever gave you the authority, oh, you're authoritarian, so you're trying to grab the authority without consent from the people? Got it. See you, covert communist Klaus Schwab.
The reality of Schwab's agenda is detailed in his best-selling book, COVID-19, The Great Reset. His endgame mission is to replace independent governance with a top-down controlled, one-world government, and a central bank-controlled digital currency.
Beware of the digital currencies, ladies and gentlemen. Not a fan.
When they say, you'll be happy, what they mean is, you'll be enslaved. That's why they're talking about a Great Reset. That's why they're talking about introducing this quasi-communist, quasi-socialist agenda. They know we've run the course where we cannot continue down the path of the ever-increasing indebtedness because we have a generation that quite literally cannot afford
to buy a house.
Millions of Americans are priced out of buying a home.
Well, let's have BlackRock buy up all the homes. It's going to be easier for people to not have any private property if they can't afford private property.
So it's easy to tell that generation, we're going to forgive you college debt.
Student debt relief.
And set your expectations lower. You're going to rent forever. We're going to celebrate the tiny house movement. We're going to do all of these things which sound cool because they're shaping our narrative so that we become capable of expecting less.
Yeah, and you're doing it for the greater good. You're told you're going to be happy with less. Not that material possessions will be what makes you happy, but also a lack of material possessions also isn't what makes you happy. You're doing it for the environment. You're doing it for the greater good, along with these lowered expectations that we want you to consent to and obey and think are a good thing, greater good.
What we need to do is not expect less. We need to remove inefficiencies so we can experience more. And that's the subtle distinction that the Great Reset is missing.
Like most globalists, Schwab regards communist China as a shining model of how he intends to transform the world.
We now welcome His Excellency Xi Jinping.
I don't think he's that excellent. I'll be honest with you. I think he's a scumbag. He oppresses people. He's a communist. He has concentration camps running genocide against the Uyghur people in China. Nothing excellent about that. I wonder why Schwab thinks he's so excellent. Maybe they've got similar values.
China has made significant economic and social achievements under your leadership.
Significant. You oppressed people so good. You make people disappear so well when they don't obey you, the government. You do that so good. Great achievements, Your Excellency.
Chinese influence on global affairs is growing. The founder of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, says that this is what motivated the group this year to invite President Xi Jinping to deliver the keynote address in Davos.
Schwab said Xi's presence was a sign of the shift from a unipolar world dominated by the United States to a more multipolar system in which rising powers like China will have a step up and play a bigger role.
Again, why is anybody listening to Klaus Schwab? Why does Klaus think he deserves to have anybody listen to him? He doesn't even have a good Instagram account. He's not even the status of an influencer. He's certainly not been elected to anything. Klaus, if you're watching this, first off, thank you for subscribing. Second off, you have no authority, bro. You deserve none. You have never achieved anything that garners any kind of respect. So, peace out, Schwab.
I think it's a role model for many countries.
A role model.
But we have to go one step first.
By the way, that's not a German or a Swiss accent. That's a reptilian accent. That's how they sound.
It's a systemic transformation of the world. Artificial intelligence, the metaverse, synthetic biology, our life in 10 years from now will be completely different.
Will he still be alive? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he's got his hands on some kind of technology where he's probably already dead, but he's able to propagate his consciousness in this little droopy face neck meat suit.
And who masters those technologies will be the master of the world.
Masters of these technologies will be the masters of the world. Guess what, bro? That's the way authoritarians think. Who wants to be the master of the world and rule over other people? Well, psychologically fractured individuals like yourself, Klaus, that's who likes to do that. The rest of us, I love the libertarian mindset, which is don't take my stuff. Leave me alone. Don't take my stuff. And having that mindset to other people, don't take their stuff. Like, it's great. Like, respect people. Be kind. Don't take anybody's crap. Don't let anybody take your crap. The world's going to be in a good place because that's not anybody being the master of the world. That's people becoming masters of their own lives while respecting the other individuals who are the masters of their respectful lives. And I think the only way Klaus's agenda can possibly succeed is for people enslaving themselves to fear. That's why I wear this shirt. Fear is not a virtue. when people feel afraid, and they think that's a good driver to have behind the steering wheel of the car of their life, whether it's the fear of, oh, the environment, or fear of this is infringing on something else, this is for the greater good, the fear that it's not for the greater good compels me to, yeah, take fear out of the driver's seat. Fear is not a virtue. Fear is a part of life, but it's best put in the passenger seat, preferably the back seat. You can feel the fear, but not make decisions based on the fear. And the more people realize fear is not a virtue, it's not a decision maker, the more Klaus gets to feel as powerless as he deserves to feel, which is a significant amount of powerlessness. At most, the power to be the master of his own life, nobody else's. So, not a fan of Klaus, as you can tell. By the way, also, The Great Awakening, it is well worth the watch. I'm proud to have a small appearance in it as well. So you can check out the full film, The Great Awakening, for free at PlandemicSeries.com. Check it out if you haven't already. And thank you for being with me as we call out the lies, hypocrisy, and corruption of communists and the woke absurdities that they attempt to justify their destructive agendas. And thank you for letting us highlight the amazing work of the freedom fighter, Mickey Willis, for this amazing film. Appreciate you watching with me. But before you go, I want to tell you about one of my favorite health tools, the Boncharge Infrared Sauna Blanket. Do you know what the problem is with sauna? Good evening, and welcome to a special Cover Our Tracks report. Why are we on the left panicking over the movie The Sound of Freedom and the realities of child trafficking that it exposes? Why are Rolling Stone, The Washington Post, CNN, and other trusted outlets smearing the movie and creating a narrative that is fueled by crazy conspiracy theories? Well, in doing so, we realize it looks like we're trying to convince people that child trafficking isn't a problem at all in order to protect vile predators. And that kind of makes it seem like we have some kind of vested interest in child trafficking, almost like we support it. So tonight we'll be covering our tracks by telling you why Sound of Freedom deserves to be bashed and why we're not guilty of doing what we're actually doing. Starting with the facts. Sound of Freedom is based on the life of Tim Ballard, founder of Operation Underground Railroad that sets up sting operations to rescue children from sex trafficking while putting predators in jail. Today, they've rescued over 7,000 children and helped to make over 6,500 arrests of predators. Pretty impressive statistics considering child trafficking doesn't exist. Now to the movie. Released on the 4th of July, Sound of Freedom has come out of the gate as the number one movie in the country, beating out Indiana Jones that was backed by a mega budget of $300 million. Sound of Freedom was only backed by a budget of truth, and its success suggests that truth spreads and wins based on its own merit. But we believe the truth is worth less than money, and the reality that Sound of Freedom exposes isn't truth you can trust. That's why we're here to feed you lies that you can trust. Now, listen closely because the brainwashing is about to begin. Our working narrative that we're aggressively smearing the movie with is that it's based on QAnon-fueled conspiracy theories. Let's hear more. The now definitely not complicit in child trafficking Washington Post called Sound of Freedom a QAnon-adjacent thriller seducing America. Seducing America into what? Not caring about and being willing to stop the heinous abuse of children by the most vile predators on the planet? Yeah, trying to trick Americans into that isn't good for their interests. The Washington Post tries to discredit the film further by discrediting Operation Underground Railroad itself by proudly stating that Glenn Kessler, the Washington Post fact-checker who has yet to find a single fact but keeps trying, found no evidence of Tim Ballard's claim that 10,000 children are smuggled into the U.S. each year for sex trafficking. You're doing God's work, Glenn, and also doing a great job of not finding what you're not looking for. The trusted news outlet also shares that in 2020, Vice News investigated Operation Underground Railroad, and though they found no falsehoods in their rescue claims, they did conclude that they have a pattern of image burnishing and mythology building, a series of exaggerations that are, in the aggregate, quite misleading. Provable facts and experiences are at the top of the list for things that are quite misleading. This Justin! Just so you know, Vice News is now owned by George Soros. So feel free to do the math on why they're helping out society by helping protect traffickers. And the Washington Post hits a home run when they say, but the movie has nevertheless been promoted on QAnon message boards, and some accuse it of playing into the movement, which is based on the false belief that a highly organized network of global elites are kidnapping children, having sex with them, and harvesting their blood. Again, this is a false belief. Trust the Washington Post. Nothing like that happens.
It's crazy. So ISIS, when they rolled in and they took advantage and took all the, you know, the minority religious children, Christian Yazidis, the same thing's happening in Africa, and they're setting up these like baby factories where they'll impregnate women and make the babies just to sell their body parts. One little boy in particular, who that was happening to him, he was kidnapped actually at 4 or 5 years old. Until he was 12, and they would just slowly suck like the spinal fluid, and they would sell it. This is a witch doctory kind of satanic ritual stuff where they sell the blood and people like drink it and think they're being empowered. And it's a real thing. And this kid had lost all use of, by the time he was 11 years old, he looked like he was 7 and he couldn't use his limbs. And we were able to get him to a doctor in Salt Lake at the Children's Shriners Hospital.
Again, completely false belief, according to the Washington Post. And we'd like to thank the Washington Post for speaking out against people who are speaking out, let alone rescuing children, who are being trafficked and having their blood harvested. Because after all, blood harvesting isn't a problem, but people raising awareness about it is a problem. And luckily, we're here to help eliminate that problem. Next up, Rolling Stone got on board the being willing to appear to be protecting child predators train in order to do God's work of silencing dangerous misinformation that wouldn't be dangerous even if it was misinformation. According to Rolling Stone, Sound of Freedom is a superhero movie for dads with brainworms. And in their own subtitle, they say, the QAnon-tinged thriller about child trafficking is designed to appeal to the conscience of a conspiracy-addled boomer. They go on to call the film a call to action in an imagined global war against sexual predators. Now, we can't stress enough how much Rolling Stone wants you to believe that child trafficking is just something imagined. And it's awfully good of them to put so much effort into trying to get you to believe so, isn't it? And just something to preferably not think about, outlets like Washington Post and Rolling Stone had fiercely labeled what are now provably true facts as conspiracies, like Hunter Biden's laptop, the lab leak, and side effects. And also don't consider that now that those occurrences have proven to be true, these outlets are still calling them conspiracy theories. So you should have plenty of confidence in trusting them when they label another provably true phenomenon, child trafficking, as a conspiracy theory. And if you don't trust them, then you must have brainworms or something. Does ivermectin work against brainworms? What's Mel Gibson have to say?
One of the most disturbing problems in our world today is human trafficking, and particularly the trafficking of children. Now, the first step in eradicating this crime is awareness. Go see Sound of Freedom.
Correction, Mel Gibson. The most disturbing problem in our world today is awareness about trafficking, and we must eradicate awareness. And we'd like to thank CNN, Washington Post, and Rolling Stone for their efforts to eradicate awareness about trafficking. We see you and will never forget what you're doing. In conclusion, why is the left panicking over the reality that Sound of Freedom exposes? Well, we'll let you decide with this multiple choice quiz. A, climate change is causing them to do it. B, they want to create a safe space for dangerous people, or C, there's scum who are protecting predators. Weird that 83% of people so far think it's because there's scum who are protecting predators. I don't know what that's about. That's it for our special Cover Our Tracks report, so you don't think any further into why we on the left are bashing Sound of Freedom and so desperately trying to discount its message. The truth shall set you free, so we'll continue trying to hide the truth from you so you won't be free. Because we care about you. Trust us. Good night. I'm coming out of the closet and admitting it.
Well, we are seeing Muslim communities across North America standing up against gender ideology and LGBTQ curriculum in public schools. It's been happening here in America for a while, and Canadian Muslims are now following suit. Just last week, Canada's Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau addressed a group of Muslim Canadians who protested against gender ideology in schools, and he blamed their opposition on, quote, the American right wing. Watch.
First of all, there is an awful lot of misinformation and disinformation out there. People on social media, particularly fueled by the American right wing, are spreading a lot of untruth about what's actually in the provincial curriculum. If you look at the various curriculums, you'll see that there is not what is being said out there about aggressive teaching or conversion of kids to being LGBT. That is something that is being weaponized by people who are not doing it because of their interest in supporting the Muslim community. These are people on the far right who have consistently stood against Muslim rights in the Muslim community.
Ooh, Tommy, that was a lecture.
How insulting, not only to the Muslim faith, but to faith in general, anybody who has faith in something beyond themselves, anybody who holds a religion near and dear to their heart, for him to sit there and say, hey, listen, it's the American right wing that's trying to convince you of your firmly held belief that you've had in your religion since the dawn of time, that it's the American right wing that's making you think that. Once again, the left, I don't care if it's the American left or the Canadian left, is trying to convince people how they feel and what they think, and that they are, in fact, victims, and they're not smart enough to think for themselves. They're actually being manipulated. I don't think that Canadian Muslims or American Muslims or Canadian Christians, American Christians, whatever religion, I don't think that they're going to fall for this. I think people are too firmly rooted in their faith and in their beliefs to fall for this. Jen Psaki tried it a couple weeks ago. It fell flat. But when you think about it, how insulting it is to people of faith.
Yeah.
I hope people are paying attention to that. This is what they think of your faith. They think that your faith is being manipulated by conservatives in another country.
Oh, and that you didn't choose it freely.
Right.
I mean, it's like, oh, well, you put the wrong dress on today. Let me talk you out of that.
Right.
That it was such a pat on the head. Well, look, this isn't instantaneous. And it's here's one of the reasons why you can't blame it on anybody in America. The All-Muslim City Council of Hamtramck in Michigan voted unanimously to ban the display of pride flags. Remember that? On any city property. Here's the city councilman on that decision.
But here's the thing, folks. You guys are welcome to the community. You guys welcome to walk to the restaurants, walk to the grocery store. Why do you have to have a flag flown in the city property to be represented? You already represented. We're doing our best to support the community. Therefore, you are not unwelcome. You are welcome here. But we have to respect the religious. We have to respect the people that around here, schools, mosques, churches.
The Muslim faith, as Tommy just brilliantly laid it out, no matter where you live, if you hold faith, you can't talk people out of it. Look, this is part of who they are. They didn't catch it like a disease.
Yeah, this is where they push it too far. When they go out and attack families, attack kids, and when they go after people's religion, they weren't listening to some conservative in Utah who thinks that, you know, this pushing too far. They can come up to these conclusions, as Tommy said, all by themselves. They're just pushing too far. They attack them, and that's why they don't get it. Justin Trudeau and those people left, they just don't get it. Mm-hmm. It is happening. And you know what? There are people all over the world who are just fed up with it. Leave our religion alone. Leave us alone in terms of our beliefs and the diversity of thought. And don't come after our kids and try to transition them.
See, and that's the thing. We say this all the time, Kaylee. You and I have talked about, look, love who you want. Do all of those things. But this is exactly what's happening. Yeah. On the right with gender, puberty, with all of that mixed in with, oh, and then you put in children.
Right, exactly. And this is why you see a coalition, Muslim, Jewish,
Hindu, Christian. No one here is being compelled to do something by the right. As the National Deputy Director of CARE, the largest Muslim civil rights organization, said, she basically said the media needs to accept that Muslim parents are independent, intelligent people speaking for themselves. That's exactly right. But this is the demonization strategy. You had a council member in Montgomery County come out and say that they are aligning with white supremacists, that Muslims are. She then had to apologize for that statement. But where did we see this before? With the Tea Party. Nancy Pelosi, this is AstroTurf. Paul Krugman of the New York Times, this is AstroTurf. Well, that AstroTurf movement cost Nancy Pelosi her gavel. So be on the lookout. I think a coalition's forming here. Cheryl.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it's an easy, lazy target, listening to Justin Trudeau, trying to blame maybe what is his failed policy, his failed messaging in his country on an American group of conservatives. It's just a lazy argument. I think that he needs to look in the mirror and look at what's happening in Canada and stop judging what's happening south of his border. Focus on the prize there, Justin.
Yeah, it also, to me, Tommy, just signifies that he's lost some control that he's trying to get back. And so he will go to those spaces where it seems like the woke folk would agree with him. We'll poke it at religion,
right?
You know, poke at faith, poke at belief systems, that sort of thing.
Canada has become a different country during COVID and now post-COVID. A lot of their freedoms, certainly their freedom of speech, has been reined in. And Canadians are so polite and they don't want to offend anybody, so they haven't taken the bull by the horns, unlike the Freedom Truckers, who certainly did that, to try to get back what they lost during COVID. And I think Trudeau is realizing that maybe there's an awakening here, but beyond just what's happening in Canada, I think faith is going to be a big issue for Democrats and left-wingers all around the world in coming elections, and they're terrified, which is why you're seeing this strategy unfold now.
Yeah. Yep. Don't touch our kids. Don't touch our religion. I think that's a message. We'll see.
Hey, everyone. I'm Emily Campagno. Catch me and my...
All right, so we are back. I'm going to go ahead and bring Vito in here. Welcome
there,
in, Vito.
How are you?
Thanks
How's
for calling
everything?
In.
Yeah, man.
You missed earlier, I think. I talked about my A1C.
Yeah, I heard it. No, I caught the end of it. Well, it's good news, right?
Well, yeah, I went from 13.8 to 6.1. That's usually good news.
There you go.
Now I'm not even diabetic.
You know, they keep saying I'm pre-diabetic every time I go to the doctor, but I laugh at them. I'm like, I am far from diabetic, I tell them. Pre-diabetic or anything diabetic.
Well, I'm at 6'1", which is like in the middle of pre-diabetic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I think I'm a 4 or 5. I forget the number.
6'4"?
I forget the exact number that I am.
5'7" is
I'm not either
not...
4 or 5. I'm not 100% sure.
All right.
You know, my daughter panics every time I go for blood work. Tell her, what are you panicking for? Nothing's wrong. I'm fine. I'm the healthiest person I know. I say it just like that to her. You know, they thought I had gout once. She went in a panic. And I told her, I said, I don't think I got gout. But, you know, we'll go to the doctor. We'll see what's going on. It took me 6 months to get an appointment with a because I have to go see a geriatric doctor because I have gout. And I went there with my blood work. And my the geriatric doctor said, I ain't got gout, not in these numbers. And, you know, and I had seen a doctor in my GP's office that I never saw before. And she was insistent. So, you know, and when I got to the the geriatric, she looked at my stuff and she said, no, you're a healthy man. And another time, another doctor that was filling up for my GP thought I was about to have a heart attack. So I'm like, are you crazy? And I made an appointment with a heart specialist on Staten Island. I went there with all the work, the same paperwork that she had, he looked at. And he's looking at it, and he's like, this is, I've never seen numbers like this before. Your triglycerides are perfect. I says, there's nothing wrong with you. This is like, these numbers are astonishing. He goes, I'm like, shocked. He was like, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. I'm like, all right, well, I looked at my daughter, and I said, you see, you're panicking, you know, for nothing. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine. And that's how I am. You know. But did you hear about RFK Jr. today?
What happened today?
Oh, yesterday? You don't know.
I don't know.
Well, he said, I forget exactly which it was, but he said the COVID, either the virus or the vaccine, which was created to protect the Chinese and the Jews.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like, where did that come from? That wasn't even on the conspiracy radar. But he said it.
Well, I don't think it was to protect them. I think it meant that more white and black people would die from taking this because of the maybe it was supposed to hit certain people. And I can't deny that based on how the left's fascination with people like Margaret Sanger. So,
yeah,
hey,
this is true. This is true, but he's not a true leftist, though. I don't see him as a true leftist, though.
Right, but maybe he's exposing them.
Like his politics.
I just think he's exposing them.
Okay, maybe that's what that was. It's all good. Some news reporter out here, 51 years old, the weather forecaster, suddenly died. And that's exactly what they're saying. 51 years old, she died suddenly. Yeah, I wonder what killed her.
Total shocker.
Yeah, it's something that they're going to have to really invest a lot of time in to figure out what happened. They all know what.
So they'll find the answer right after they find out whose crack Hunter had that allegedly he didn't have.
Yeah, I was listening to Levin today, and apparently Hunter Biden was never interviewed by the FBI or the Secret Service about the cocaine. And in 2020, the FBI gave Joe Biden a heads up that they were going to interview Hunter about his money dealings.
Oh, that, yeah.
Could you imagine that? They gave him a heads up, man. I'm just like, nothing they do shocks me. They're bad. Anything they do doesn't shock me anymore. I mean, they always put themselves as the premier law enforcement agency in America. Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I absolutely don't agree with that.
They're a premier cover-up agency, maybe.
Well, that's what they are now. I mean, they could lock you up even if you don't answer questions. They could arrest you for obstruction of justice. You invoke your Fifth Amendment right, and the FBI could turn around and say, yeah, we're going to lock you up for obstruction, because that's what they got Martha Stewart on, from what I understand, from what I remember. I could be wrong, but I don't think that's what they got her on. She invoked the Fifth Amendment. I'm not talking to you. And they
were
like,
problem
okay.
Was she showed up.
She what?
She showed up for court, that's why.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't show up. I was just going to play this week's Broccoli Man, so I hope that's all right. I know you're okay with Mr. Broccoli.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is the wiretap making demands.
Oh, wonderful.
So, didn't I... All right, there we go. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and play it right now here.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Well, at least it's Monday. TGIM. It's a great day to get to work and arrest some child traffickers. I just wish we had a president that would take this human trafficking seriously.
Hold it right there, green dude. You will do no such thing today, sir. The only thing you will be doing is visiting G. Globalist Lair as we find a crime you may have committed.
Don't you have anything better to do today, wiretap?
Not really, green dude. Pride Month is over. It is getting harder to find Bud Light on the shelves. I was thinking we can take a ride in my 1993 Geo Metro up to G. Globalist Lair so he can tell you personally to leave those child traffickers alone. We are requiring you to make a public speech stating you are allowing the child traffickers to come in with as many children as they want. Even Brandon said it was unethical to do a one-day DNA test to verify parents. In other words, we are now accepting of the child sex traffic rings. You best not mess up our crime syndicate. Do you understand the words coming out of my vocal cords, sir?
The answer to that is nope, never, and no way.
Maybe I should tell you in Spanish, sir. This is not just an opinion. This is a direct order by Alexa Rose and G. Globalist. If you do one more thing to stop child traffickers, we will take your demise into our own hands.
Hey, that's great. Well, time for you to get off my driveway so I can go drive to work.
I have already called into your work and called you out for work today, sir. So you working today is not going to happen. Now, come with me. We can either go to Target to get Bud Lights and then watch the six-year-old boys dancing naked for adults at the gay bar. Or we can do this the hard way and you can let all the globalists tell you to cease and desist your child traffic operations. Plus you must make a public apology to Bill Gates for exposing his GMO mosquito plan to give the world malaria. Now too many people know about this. Shame on you, sir, for making Bill Gates cry like a baby getting a gender reassignment surgery.
I am not interested in assisting the world depopulation agenda.
You do not have to be interested, green dude. You just have to comply. Bill Gates is the king of deep pop. He receives billions of dollar bills all to try and repopulate the earth. This is why we have shills like Kamala Harris are in the world of our plan to exterminate over 300,000 of you adults in something that cares every single day to get to our repopulation goals, sir. Let me play you the clip, sir.
Impact on something like public health. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
You are on the wrong side of history.
You are on the wrong side of history, sir. Now, come with me and let's go have a quick chat with G. Globalist.
No. No means no.
Yes. Yes means yes. You keep stepping in it. Today is the day you finally have to pay TH bill for not allowing us to expand our new world order.
Please tell me how killing millions of people a month makes the world a better place.
That is easy, sir. Once we have universal basic income for all the redundant peasants and the rest of your 99% dirtbags, then if we eradicate as many of the 99% as possible, then we no longer have to worry about those universal basic income monies. As 1% peoples will not have to worry about if a 99% is going to ruin a crime syndicate. Someone like Craig Epps will no longer have to worry about if someone reports him for telling people they have to storm into the Capitol. Now because of dolts like you, we are now almost forced to charge him with somitting. It is not fair to him because we paid him good money and he provided the best service ever. He helped orchestrate January 6.
You mean that story everyone in the world knows that is true, but we got in trouble for sharing. You mean the one where everyone knew he was a Fed? Then he tries to sue Fox News for falsely saying he was at the Capitol for January 6th? You mean that one?
You need to zip it right now, Green Dude. You need to zip it. Zip it good. When a problem comes around, you must zip it. You, sir, are a Biznich 123. Now, show me those kumquats and follow me.
That sounds like something that ain't gonna happen.
Just like a hero out of the blue, I'll be your non-stop lover. Get it while you can. Your non-stop miracle, I'm your man. Get out of my dreams. Get into my car. Get out of my dreams. Get into the back seat, baby. Get into my car. Beep, beep. Yeah. Get out of my mind. Get into my life. Hello. I said hey, hey, you. Get into my car.
You are going down faster than Mike Pence's political career. The world is waking up to the new world order.
Which is precisely why we have to take it to G. Globalist lair, and you can help these 99% scumbags and adults to go back to sleep. We need a central banking system complete with our microchips. Even a Harari says we can hack into everyone's brains now and make everyone in the world our complete slaves. When all the false keep using places like Skank of America, Shitty Bank, and Crap It All One, it continues to fund and bankroll our operations. The American public is too stupid to see that, sir. Even if they know we are screwing them over every single day, they continue to pay for it.
I am so glad that people are seeing the sound of freedom.
About that, sir, you are hereby required to tell everyone to never ever go see that movie. You must now support our narrative that it is made up a QAnon front group to shield their white supremacy. We absolutely cannot have you out here in these main streets telling people about what we do with children's. If people find out, then we can no longer traffic kids like we have been doing. It is bad enough you cost us Jeffrey Epstein, sir. He absolutely did kill himself because he was scared of what the public thought of him.
I do not know who you expect to believe that.
Every Democrat voter that still wears a scam believes everything we tell them to think. By the way, you need to get that bloody scam on that face. You also need to get those gene therapies and also obtain a Lysenko Freedom microchip. All of you have to do is say hibby hibby insert my chippy. And that is the code word that states it is acceptable for me to provision and insert your microchip.
Wow. You must really think you are funny.
I will tell you one thing, Green Dude. When it comes to my funny, I do not want any money. Wait a minute. That's incorrect.
Anyway, I need to get to work. Let me get the wiretap off my property. In the meantime, please check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to know about. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live to hear Proof Negative. Also, go to the schedule and find some of the other shows on Freedomizer also. Remember, freedomizerradio.com.
That tears it, Green Dude. You telling people to go to freedomizerradio.com is the last straw for us globalists. You must now disrobe this instant so I can have a look-see at your kumquats and your ice cream cone. We need to make sure we do not find any AK-47s, any samurai swords, or any gas stoves inside your junk. We have been requesting for far too long and you refuse to provide this information to the TSA. I need to grapple with that ice cream cone right this instant and there better be these two kumquats in there. May way with the clothing and becomes naked right this instant, Green Dude.
All right. I hope that was okay, Vito.
It was good. You know, it's just shocking the resistance that movie is getting, that child trafficking movie. I didn't even know it was out. I went to last week. I went to go see Indiana Jones, and then I hear later on that this Freedom movie is out. And I didn't even know nothing about it. And now the resistance that movie's being met with is just so unbelievable. It's like they don't care, and I'm telling you, they want to legitimize pedophilia, man. Plain and simple. And the Democrat Party is doing nothing to stop this. Nothing.
No, and why should they? They're winning. Or they think they're winning.
They think they're winning. They're not winning, folks. I'm going to tell you right now. But next year is going to be interesting. I'll tell you right now. The way things are going, I think next year it's going to be a game changer. Someone said on the radio that there might not even be an election next year, you know, if things keep going as bad like they are, which is possible.
Well, they could. I think the goal is to suspend the election and at the same time get Brandon out of there and replace him with Big Mike, who wants the job. If they want the job, because they is a very nice lady, but they does not want the job. So if they could talk that pronoun into taking the position, otherwise it's up to Gruesome.
Man, he has no shot at winning. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, but
the
if
only
he's
one that's got a shot
if proof, not yeah. elected, then it won't matter.
Yeah. Big Mike
Gruesome
is the only
has
one.
No chance in a debate versus Trump.
One more time.
Gruesome has no chance in a debate versus Trump.
No. Trump will eat him up. The only one that could beat Trump in a general election is Big Mike.
And that has nothing to do with
exactly.
smarts or anything really, except that it's a black lady.
Well, I don't know about a lady.
Well, and he's a nice lady.
Yeah.
So we can't deny that.
He's going to get. Uh-uh. Well, we're going to see what's going to happen soon. I mean, this thing with Biden.
I can't believe that they didn't even ask Hunter about the cocaine. They didn't ask Brandon about the cocaine. They just said that they couldn't find any evidence.
Yeah, the Secret Service also said that the Bidens were not in the White House that day.
Oh, so I guess being in the room doesn't count.
No.
Okay.
No, it's a spirit.
So I believe that one meme that everybody shared, by not telling us whose cocaine it is, you told us whose cocaine it is, because they
exactly.
did such a poor job hiding it. Everybody knew how this was going to turn out, and they didn't disappoint. It
no.
turned out exactly
no,
how
didn't.
All of us said it was going to.
Yep, 100%.
And the sad thing is, we all knew it.
Well, you just had to take one look at him there, 4th of July, how he was on that balcony.
Yeah?
No, he was stoned out of his face. And I think his mother even knew it, too.
But if that's the case, then Brandon can just try to executive order allowing crack cocaine in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
He could try it.
And that's
then
not the first time either that they found.
If he loses his cocaine in the White House, then nobody would have to have an investigation. He legalized it. At this point, you may as well. Just so you don't have to waste false hope that they're going to have an investigation. Because they're not doing squat.
No. They're not doing anything. They don't care.
Right.
Matter of fact, they're doing everything they can to protect this family, and I don't understand why.
Because it's at the point now with the FBI. I'm trying to think of the right acronym here, but it's like it went from trying to fight crime to just protecting Brandon's Tookus.
Uh-huh.
That's all the FBI does now. Protect that ass.
Makes no sense, man. And they had less on Nixon. They know Biden's dirty. It's not like, you know, they need to find the proof. They have the proof. You know,
oh, I know that.
All the
you know what's funny, though,
is
that among black voters, Brandon's numbers are way down, and among the under 25, Brandon's numbers are way down.
Yeah, there was a poll that they did. It was not a big poll. They only interviewed 10 millennials.
Yeah.
And all 10 said the economy's not good. All 10 said that they blame Joe Biden. All 10 were asked who they would vote for, and all 10 said Joe Biden. And these were all Democrats, mind you.
Yeah.
And they were asked, why would you, if you said that he wasn't doing good, and you blame him, why would you vote for him? And they answered that we don't know what the alternative. We fear the alternative. You believe
so
that?
They're not having Trump as president, they didn't know he was president before?
Yeah, well, apparently they're brainwashed. Come on, they're in outer
the
space.
The alternative,
man,
is that you get to stay in World War III and your kids get drafted into war.
Yeah.
And there won't be any air conditioning, any gas. Your electric will be rationed. Your microchips will be implanted in your person. How is that better than
the microchips they the microchips they want?
Oh, yeah.
You know that they want, no doubt.
Yeah, because it's loving and liberal.
You know, but everything that they were against 20 years ago, now they support. They want censorship. Makes no sense.
Yeah, they're okay with 6-year-olds dancing naked in gay bars. As long as it's gay bars and not straight bars.
Wrong.
Yeah, answer me that. Why is it okay for a 6-year-old boy to dance naked in a gay bar but not in a straight bar?
Because the straight people wouldn't understand.
I don't know how that's loving and liberal.
Mm-hmm. Telling you, Poop. They are in left field. I mean, they are not even in the ballpark anymore. That woman, J-Pow.
J-Pow,
whatever her name is. Yeah, she's a congresswoman. I think she's Indian.
Oh, Jay Powell. Yes, I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, she made some. Apparently, she made an anti-Semitic comment and admitted she made the anti-Semitic comment and didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because that's not racist.
You know, no.
No, it's loving and liberal.
Yeah. I'm telling you, my buddy Ralph, he always said, I always remember his words. I remember my mother's words, Vito. And she's not wrong, and it's going to happen again. going to happen again. He always says that. He always said that. I always remember him saying that. Going to happen again. They didn't learn their lesson the first time. This time he said they're gonna finish the job. And I said, Ralph, I hope you're wrong. Well, we shall see. We shall see.
I don't know if there's enough liberals that actually want that to happen.
Well, you know, it's not that they want it to happen, per se. Like, you know, they'll be told, don't pay attention to them. We're not going to hurt you. Oh, we believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. You know, it's the fox, you know, telling the chickens, you know, I'm not going to eat you. I'm not going to touch you. And sure enough, it's exactly what's going to happen.
Meanwhile, you have Kamala Harris admitting the quiet part out loud where we need to depopulate.
Yep.
And she could even say we need to depopulate Democrat voters, and you'll have people that can't wait to vote Democrat because it's liberal.
It's insane.
But I guess there's one way to make sure that we know what side we're fighting if it comes down to a civil war, because Democrats will be wearing their scams.
Absolutely. And I still see people wearing their masks.
Oh, I know. I think it's hilarious when you get those people with the ZZ Top beards still wearing their scams.
It's insane, man. It's insane. It's insane what's going on. But, no, what are you going to do, Pooh? There's nothing you can do about it. It's just you have to hope for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yeah, I don't know how else to keep getting the word out.
There's no other way. You know, there is no other way. There is no other way.
And then Bill Gates thinks he's doing the Lord's work by depopulating, and everybody's okay with that.
Yeah. And they want this. You want this. We want this. We know what's better for you. You know, and who knows what they're going to do next, Boots. They're going to do something next. Think that they're going to push another pandemic, create another, more hysteria, and tie it into the digital currency that they're pushing. They're going to be pushing soon. Don't get it.
We're just a couple weeks away from that.
You know, and I know they'll vote it down. You know, they will vote it down. I'm certain of that.
Mm.
You know, because the thing is, the abuse from that is massive, that they could, pull their scams on us. Buy this, you can't buy that.
But you know what's funny is that when they talked about how the blacks and the youth are leaving Democrat Party in droves, the blacks are going conservative. But the 25 and under say that Brandon is not left enough, and we want straight communism.
Yeah,
That's true.
So they think that they're going to be able to just bully everybody. And that's what Brandon...
People have had enough of that.
But Brandon thinks he can run like that, though.
Yeah. He can't even run to the bathroom. He's not... Listen, this Bud Light... This beer stuff, I think... I hope is a game changer. I hope. No, I hope it's a game changer.
Well, I hope so, but I don't know.
No. No, we don't know, Poop. That's the thing, we don't know. We do not know. And, you know, you got the serial killer that they locked up out in Long Island. That, to me, smells of cover-up, up and down.
Mm.
Now, I mean, they had him 10 years ago. They had him 10 years ago. Why wait until now to come out and, you know, officially lock him up or at least go after him? You know, why wait until now?
Well, why did they expose him now? I guess that's right.
Yeah. What prompted them? Yeah, they're saying that they were afraid he was going to go out and do it again. Proof, I'm telling you right now. This thing, this dude and dudes, they killed a lot of women, man. There's one dead baby in that group also. There was one Asian male, one Asian female, and one baby, and that baby was tied to the Asian female. So, and this is not something that, how could I put it? You know, there wasn't a sign there that said dump your dead bodies here. You know, this was done by a very close-knit group of people. And I believe the Suffolk County Police Department, to some extent, was involved not in the killing, but in the hiding the bodies.
That wouldn't shock me.
No. It shocks me, Poof. No, it's really screwed up, man. This world is really messed up. This country's messed up. And what are they going to do? You know, like you said, you had Kamala Harris openly saying reducing the population.
Mm.
How do you get around that? How does she get around with saying that? What do you mean by what? How are you going to reduce the population? You have Bill Gates saying that they're going to reduce the population by 15%, 10 to 15% through vaccines. And now the Vice President of the United States of America has said, hey, you know, we're going to make a safer world for our children. Again, the Marxist, always their point is the children. That's who they always put on the pedestal of the children. Now, I keep telling people, be ready. Now, they think I'm crazy, but I ain't crazy. You ain't crazy either.
Mm-hmm.
you know, there's still smoke out here. I'm up in upstate New York. I was down by Syracuse.
I heard that they're putting out that smoke again.
Yeah, and it was like more like a fog, but I didn't smell nothing that was burning. You know, in New York, they said you could smell the burning wood, the red sky, burning wood. All I saw was a fog all day long, and I didn't smell anything burning. Nothing. Now, work is good. Walmart is doing really good business. I'm shocked at the volume that they push, man. It's almost like
the people that left Target.
Yeah. I don't know much about Target, but now how they're doing. But I know Walmart is doing phenomenal. Doing really, really good. Now, anybody else call in tonight or no?
No, just you.
Wow. Well, I'm sure there are people listening. I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, my co-host told me 2 weeks ago she was taking this day off, so just nobody else wanted to fill in. And I didn't feel like taking the night off.
No, I mean, why? You know, if you could, you know, put out a show, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always, there's plenty of news out there.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
You know, whatever we talk today is old tomorrow, but this, with this, serial killer that they caught, it's almost like the Hunter Biden news almost dropped off the screen pretty much.
Well, Christopher Wray got, basically the shit kicked out of him last week with all those Congress people and senators.
Yeah, but nothing's going to come of it, Proof. Nothing's going to come of it.
No, I know that.
You know, and he's there. He's taking the beating. He was told to take the beating, and I'm sure he'll be taken care of for that. Guaranteed he'll be taken care of for that. And meanwhile, Chris Christie, he turned around and said that if he's if he's elected president, Ray's staying. I mean, is he out of his mind? Position.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's totally, that agency is floundering. It's just, nobody has faith in it. Yeah, they helped solve that crime, you know, all those murders and stuff. Yeah, they found the guy that did it. You know, there's more guys that did it. They're involved in this. There's no doubt in my mind. And, you know, the DA already committed himself to say that there wasn't a cover-up. He came in after the fact, so he has an out. He says, well, listen, I only know what I know from the point I came in. That's all I know. That's the answer. Guarantee that's going to be his answer. If they start naming names. No. If he starts naming names. I think he will. But we will see. We shall see what he's going to do. Because he pled guilty now, but, you know, they say that what they got on him, they got mitochondrial DNA, which is really deep, 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 deep DNA. I mean, it's like one in a billion people only have that kind of a match.
And there's no getting around that. You know, he's pretty much done. We don't have a death penalty in this state. If he killed that baby, and, you know, I believe he did or his group did, the death penalty is too good for them. But we don't have it in New York State. But they have abortion.
Yeah, you don't have death penalty, but you can have abortion after the baby's born.
Yeah. Yep. You know it, Proof. You know it. Just wrong. It's just wrong. Everything that's going on today is just wrong. It's just upside down. It's clown world. You know, it's like, what the hell is going on? You know, it just doesn't, it's the craziest thing.
You know, what's weird to me is that Brandon's administration, they filed an emergency stay with the Fifth Circuit Court so that they can continue to try and censor people that are not Democrats. They're
right.
Just open.
Right, and then yeah, absolutely. They're communists. Like you said, they're Marxist to the core. But didn't the Fifth Circuit Court blow that out or no? Or they still haven't ruled on it?
Well, this was on Friday, so, or was it Friday? Hold on here. Maybe I just no, this was last Monday. I kept it for some reason. So if they did something since Monday, then. Maybe there is something different, but as far as I know, that they were still fighting this.
Right. Well, whatever they're doing, it's just so wrong, man.
I just can't picture that, though, where they want so much to be able to censor people, that they're doing emergency stays and trying
Yeah, they're
to
afraid. I'm telling you, they are scared of what's coming. That is my opinion.
Well, they didn't expect that Brandon would have so many hiccups for some reason. They thought it would just be smooth sailing, New World Order ahead. They thought so hard that COVID would be the golden calf.
That's just so.
Well, some are still fighting it. They're like, they might have PTSD, like people from Vietnam. I hate saying it like that, but that's how brainwashed these people are.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt, Proof. No doubt.
They didn't go to a war, but one came to them.
And then some.
So what else are you working on this week?
Nah, nothing else. I got some home time coming up. I got to get my Harley worked on. I just need to lower the back of the bike a little bit, just an inch, just so I could put my feet flat on the ground. I was at a bike rally a couple of weeks ago in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and this elderly gentleman, he was a biker, and he struck up a conversation with us, and
okay.
You know, he saw my Trump vest, and you know, he complimented me on it, and he says, you know, just so you know, something happens here. This is who's going to fight. And he just pointed at all, you know, he just waved his hand at all the motorcycles that were out there, all the people out there. These are the ones that are going to fight, you know, to save this country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, I believe you're right. You know, somebody's got to have to do it.
I don't think we're just going to roll over.
No. That ain't going to – that I could tell you right now.
They really thought that we'd just be a bunch of soy boys and just roll over.
Yeah. They're a bunch of idiots. That's what they are. Now, but, you know, I always tell people, you're vaccinated. Put me in your will.
Mm-hmm.
Because something bad's going to happen soon.
And now they're even admitting there's a cancer gene in there, in the gene therapies?
Wow. Well, I know my neighbor, I know her son-in-law got vaccinated. I mean, they're so liberal. And he came down with some super cancer. And they're like, the doctor said, there is absolutely nothing we can do about this.
Mm.
So I feel bad for him. He's a good kid. I can't say much for his in-laws, but he's a good kid. And it's a shame. It really is a shame. Yeah. People going younger and younger now, man. And it's all by design. And nobody can tell me that otherwise.
No, that is true.
You know, 2024 is right around the corner, and I really do believe something is going to happen. Really,
yeah, I think we're okay until next year for a little bit at least. But who knows what they're going to do next year.
I think in the first quarter of next year, first 3 months is good, but I think then they're going to turn it up right after that.
Yeah. They have to somehow make things worse, but then they're going to say you have to support Brandon or insert Democratic candidate here to make things better.
Yeah.
But we're out of time. Our 3 hours are up here. So, you know, thanks for calling in tonight.
Yeah, man.
Everyone else, support other shows on the network. It's not just the Freedom. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. Only damn 9.